Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
Warning. Catholic Man Show is about to begin. If you're looking for a dull, feel-good religion, or clap your hands, sit around the campfire, kumbaya, you've come to the wrong place. We are dealing with toxic levels of authentic masculinity. I would say good luck, but luck is for pagans.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, coming straight from, fresh off of Oklahoma's Catholic Men's Conference in Norman, Oklahoma. Here with David Niles in studio. Dave, 950 guys, over 800 confessions. That conversion rate is one of the best I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's pretty good for having a large group of men. That ratio, is that what you're talking about?
The percentage of men who actually went to confession? Right.
Yeah.
I also
was really curious what it was at the E6 men's conference that we were at.
I know, me
because
too.
Because they had it going all day long.
Yeah.
And there was like, about 1,200 guys there?
Roughly.
And at one point, for a long time, there were 9 priests going at a time. Mm-hmm. At the Oklahoma men's conference, we had 26.
Yeah, 26 priests there.
For an hour and a half.
Yeah, they were
booked
it was
solid.
Awesome.
An hour and a half, 26 priests, booked solid.
Yeah, so. Jason Everett was there. Father Larry Richards, John Leonetti. What was the priest? Other priest name? Do you recall? I can't remember.
Father Landry.
I didn't get a chance to listen to his talk, but
I didn't either.
But the other three I did. We got a chance to interview them. The interviews are posted for all of our Patreon members. I've already done that. Check that off the box.
Yeah, dude, I was really proud of you.
Thank you. I worked my tail off last night to get it knocked out.
Way to go, bro.
Thank you. So, yeah.
Doing things
early. Quickly, even.
Yeah.
So,
it's a new deal this year.
Yeah. New thing I'm trying out.
We got a new deal this year, guys.
Yeah. We're going to try.
It's called responsibility.
We're going to try that, see if it works out.
Who knows?
We'll see.
Personally, I think it's a waste of time.
But if you are interested in those interviews, you can go to patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow. We have 3 tiers that you can donate to, the lowest being $4, the highest being $25.
You can do less than that, can't you? You just don't get any benefits.
You can actually do as many, like no gift is too much.
That's right. That's right.
Or no gift is too low.
Yeah.
But if you want to
Unless, of course, you know what? I'm gonna go contrary to what you just said. Okay. I would say, being the Catholic Man Show,
mm-hmm.
that we would say a gift is too much if God is not calling you to give that much. Well, I would be so bold, sir.
What if they were wanting to exemplify the virtue of magnificence?
Right, but unless God is calling them to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? See?
I guess I was presupposing that was already the case, that you'd already gone through being prudent.
That's an important presupposition.
Yeah. So if you want to hear, we also posted Father Dwight Longenecker's interview that we did, Sister Bethany Madonna's interview that we did. I have a lot of other interviews.
I still love her.
That we're going to be posting on there. So anyway, go check it out. All members who are $10 or above, we send them this glass. Go to the Bev cam real quick. The Catholic Man Show Glencairn glass. Boom. You get it.
Laser etched. I haven't mentioned this in a while.
Yeah, this is important.
Laser etched, that logo, with lasers.
With lasers.
Laser etched with lasers.
Yeah. So that's very important.
Which means you put it in the dishwasher. I put mine in the dishwasher all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's for dudes. I don't want to hand wash stuff.
So today we're going to drink Highland Park 12, the Viking Honor Edition.
That's what it's called? The Viking Honor Edition? Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes, it's pretty epic. 12-year... We've never done a Highland Park the episode, which I found...
That's weird, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Dave, why don't you tell them the three things that we do on the episode in the event we have a new listener.
Okay. First, the three things we do every episode. One, we open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. We're going to get to that pretty quickly. We do that to highlight the virtue of moderation, the virtue of temperance. We do it to promote authentic, holy leisure as a way of growing in fellowship with your brother next to you. Of course, we always talk about temperance, or we always promote temperance. Whether we don't necessarily mention it on every episode, but it's something that we always seek to do and seek to promote. Temperance, moderation looks different for everybody, so know yourself. Know thyself, son.
Yes, gentlemen, know thyself.
The second thing we do is we highlight a man gear of some kind. Dude stuff, awesome stuff, virtuous stuff. Stuff that hopefully is going to help us get to heaven. And then the last thing we do is we have a topic. We talk about a topic.
Today we're going to talk about sex.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about sex.
Yeah, we're talking about natural family planning.
Right. So it's going to be a sweet, sweet episode.
Yeah.
So those are the three things we do. Let's get to it.
Yeah, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers. So I printed off the notes, the tasting notes. Do you want me to read them before, or do you want to give them and then let me tell you that you're wrong?
I prefer for you to read them before, so that way I can pretend to think like, yes, I agree. That's also what I'm getting. I would have said that anyway.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So this is from mastersofmalt.com. That's a very big whiskey website. But on the nose, it says fresh, clean, and very aromatic.
Banana.
Floral notes with the senses of light grassiness. Mm-hmm. Notes of
grassiness. Is that like freshly mowed grassiness?
I would assume. Light grassiness. So
I don't know if that's freshly mowed. I don't think that is freshly mowed grassiness.
Maybe like 4 days old.
And okay. Anyway, just keep going.
We're going to get notes of creamy honey and a touch of juicy citrus with cream and a well-balanced sweetness. That's just on the nose.
See, they left out banana. I'm just going to say that.
Well, they said a touch of juicy citrus.
I don't really count banana as a citrus.
No.
Is banana? Banana's not citrus.
No.
No.
On the palate, it says rather full with a pleasant depth, lurking somewhere in the substratum of grilled orange lies.
Grilled orange?
Yeah. Notes of grainy toast and green tea with jasmine and a touch of sweetness. And then on the finish, quite long with peppery spice and wood shavings. Do you catch the wood shavings?
You know, see, I really think they missed it there. It's clearly wood chips. Not wood shavings.
What about wood chunks?
No, it's not that chunky.
Oh, okay.
It's chips. I mean, I'm surprised that they didn't... Surprised they missed that, you know?
Dude,
wood shavings.
Let me read this on the side of the box, because I thought it was pretty cool.
Okay.
It says, I'm a reflection of my ancestors and their values. I keep them close and continue to learn to pass on those values to future generations. My name is all I truly have. Let it be a legend, a legacy of honor. It's kind of a cool.
Yeah.
Like I could see that in a Braveheart movie, like right before they go into battle.
Right.
But what are your thoughts on the whiskey?
It's delicious.
It is a very good.
I do. Yeah, it is peppery at the end. The taste has got a lot going on. I'm not sure about the orange. Really, I'm not sure about most of the stuff they said. You know, once again, they say it, and then you think, oh, yeah, maybe that is in there. I do kind of get a little bit of the orange, but it's just very good. I like long finishes.
Yeah.
This has a long finish.
It's 43% alcohol, so it's not a strong burn.
Yeah.
Which is also one of those things, if you're just getting into whiskey, if you're just trying whiskeys, the low alcohol content ones are always the better ones.
But that's not low alcohol content.
Well, a lot of times...
40 is standard. I mean...
Right, but, you know, the Laphroaigs are like 46 and 52.
Cask strength.
Yeah, cask strength, I believe, is 52.
Well, cask strength can be really strong.
Right. So, anyway, but I it's a good sipping whiskey.
Absolutely. How much? I don't remember how much it was. It was
$50.
It was a little bit... Oh, okay, so that's not bad.
$49.99.
Okay. Laphroaig is now $51.
Yeah, it's a lot more expensive these days.
I cry about it sometimes.
But this one is a very good, like, I would like to drink this one in the spring, because it has those the fresh, like, citrus taste to it.
And the grass.
The grass. Don't forget about the grass.
Right. What I was trying to think about is, you know, they just said grassiness, but how tall is the grass? You know, like, and are we talking alfalfa? Bermuda.
I don't know. Hey, how's
hard to say, because, you know, you get a thicker blade grass, it's obviously gonna have a different smell.
Right. Bermuda.
Right.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Fescue. What kind are we talking? Anyway, how's the fam?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's Elizabeth doing these days?
You know what, dude? It has been, on like serious note, she has a blooming spirituality these days.
Yeah, you should tell. Yeah, let's talk about this for a second. Because what is the group that she does?
She goes to Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Right.
The stuff that they talk about. But also just some of the storybooks that we read. We've got the Catholic Treasure Box books that are all about St. Therese. And those stories she really took those to heart, about pulling beads. As make it, like, whenever she does something nice, she'll do it as a gift to God. And so my wife made her like this 10 beads on a string, kind of, that you can pull one to one the other side. It's like, oh, that's a
when
gift.
They do good. So it's like a sticker. It's a sticker system.
Kind
but,
of, yeah.
But instead of the sticker, she pulls the bead over and say, I did this for Jesus.
Right. Yeah. And she's always saying stuff like, I just want to give my whole body to Jesus, my whole body to God. Which is just weird for a 3-year-old to say. Like, sometimes she'll say, Dad, do you want to be a saint with me? And it's like, yeah, I do.
Yeah. Actually,
wait.
I did. Yeah.
Are
we asking right now?
Am I going with you, or are you going with me?
Yeah.
I'll go with you if that's what I can. I mean, like, hey, whatever it takes, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So it's been really fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's because Pamela is so holy. That's really what it is. I mean,
well, it's how you've built the culture of.
Right. I know, but she's the one who does it.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. So we're sitting here drinking a little bit of this Highland Park 12 year. It's very nice. When we get back, we're going to talk about baby carriers. It's a great man
carrier.
Yeah,
dude. How to dad.
Yeah. So we'll be right back. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. Broadcasting this live right now on Facebook. If you didn't know that, we do that.
And Twitter.
And Twitter today.
Today. Not always. We don't always
do
Twitter.
Not always.
But today
I've never watched anything live on Twitter, I think.
You've mentioned that before.
But I guess it's good. I mean, I know it's Periscope. They've got this whole thing. I know.
Right.
I'll have to try it. The truth is, I don't see anybody else ever do anything live on Twitter.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. Catholic Answers does.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Good.
Okay, so...
can I give a shout-out? I forgot to do something last segment.
I will allow
it. We were talking about Patreon, patreon.com/thecatholicmanshow. That's how you can support The Catholic Man Show. The $25 level a month is called the Friend Tier. Friend Tier.
Sort of like Frontier.
Yeah, I guess. They get all the other perks, but they also get one time a month we interview one of those supporters. It's at random, so we're not picking them. It's just going to be at random. And they get to either let us interview them, they interview us, we can talk about Catholic stuff, we can talk about whatever they want to talk about for a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
I'm also going to start giving a shout out to at least one guy on each episode. So the first one is going to be
Ba-ba-da-da!
Michael Lyles.
Lyles?
Michael Lyles.
Hmm.
So thank you to Michael.
He should change that first L to an N.
It's spelled differently.
I'm just saying it sounds the same. It would sound the same.
Right.
So, anyway, thanks for being a supporter, Michael.
Yeah, thank you for all your
Mr.
support.
Mr. Lyles.
Okay.
So we got the man gear today is baby carrier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this is an important topic for guys because let's just start off by saying before I had any babies, when I saw a guy with a carrier, I was kind of like, huh, I don't know if I would want to do that.
Yeah.
Initially. That was just my, honest with you.
I always go cut off sleeves when I do the baby carrier.
That's nice.
Yeah. That way it's like, all right, well, he's still pretty tough.
But I mean, in all honesty, I was like, huh, I wonder why they're doing that. Like, why don't you just like hold the baby? You know, like.
Oh, so it wasn't like you thought it was a bad look.
I just thought like it just didn't seem like why don't you just hold it? You went through a lot of trouble to put that whole get up on. Yeah, why don't you just hold the baby?
Yeah.
And then you could put it down whenever you want. Like, it didn't make sense to me until I had a baby. And then I realized, I get it now.
Yeah, so the baby carrier is like Bluetooth, okay, because it's hands-free.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're not going to squirm out.
No, the thing about the baby carriers is that the babies love it. They love being in those things.
Most of them, at least.
Okay. In my experience, all of my kids anyway, have loved being in the baby carrier. And they will fall asleep within minutes.
I did not have that experience, but...
Yeah.
But you had like really easy kids.
Well, it's because we're so holy.
Yeah, that's...
I told you that already.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
So...
We're just... And also, I just father really well. It's because of my fathering.
Okay. I printed off the five best baby carriers for fathers in 2019.
Yeah.
Off of verywellfamily.com.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to go over those because I think they give at least a couple of them because they give some pretty good insight. But okay. Before I do, what's your standard? Like, what are you looking for in a dad carrier?
Okay. I think you need one that can wear on the front or the back.
Combo. Okay, that way you can go either way.
Because a lot of them only work on the front.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be able to do infants and big kids. Not at the same time, but, you know.
When you say big kids, you mean like two and three-year-old?
I mean like a two-year-old.
I mean three-year-old. I wouldn't put
once,
my three-year-old.
Once they're three, it's like, man, you got legs.
Right.
You can walk.
Yeah.
In fact, why don't you run?
Yeah.
In any direction.
They'd rather do that.
Right, yeah. Yeah, but I think that it needs to be able to handle variety of size children and front or back.
Okay.
That's what I think.
I also think that whenever a lot of companies were making the carriers, they weren't necessarily thinking of the 6 foot tall, 200 pound man. When they didn't have them in mind.
Yeah.
They had the mother in mind.
Yeah.
So I think it is important to make sure you try on the baby. This is an experienced father talking.
Yeah.
As far as with baby carriers, like try it on before you buy it. You should try it on. Make sure it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to go over these really fast?
Yeah.
Okay. So they broke it down into five different categories. The first one is best overall. We're just going to start off with the best.
Okay. Why not?
Why not start at the best?
Yeah.
Moby Wrap baby carrier.
The wrap.
The Moby Wrap.
This is for men.
And I also...
Because...
The Moby Wrap was one that I thought was like... It looked like kind of like... Listen,
that's for chicks. That's what I think of.
I know. And or hippies.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I don't know why, but that's what I think. Anyway, But here's why it's very comfortable.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what size you are because it adapts to mm-hmm. whichever
and
size.
And you can wear them on the hip.
If you wanted to.
If you want to. But that's for women. Women, guys don't do that. I mean, unless you have that fake holster baby carrier.
Yeah,
it's not real.
Cool.
It's not real.
Right.
But it could be.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you got something like that.
I've done the movie wrap before.
Yeah.
And it's pretty comfortable.
Yeah. I'm sure it is. But it doesn't look very manly.
The reason why, yeah, you're right. It doesn't.
No.
But the reason why.
But eventually, when you dad, you get over it.
Yeah, you just don't care anymore.
Right.
You know, like, it's like when you were in high school, you wanted to make sure you have the perfect backpack, you know, the cool backpack. Sometimes they were the sling backpack. Sometimes they were the JanSports, you know, whatever
used
they were.
It used to be one strap.
One strap.
Now it's two straps.
You like, had them really low, and then you had them really high. I mean, you know, it was very important. And then when you got into college, you were like, I don't care. I just want it to be comfortable.
Right. I'm using both straps.
Right.
Walking across this entire campus.
Right. And the bonus about the Moby wrap is that there's no, you know, it's not actually straps. So it doesn't like, sometimes if you wear those for a long time, it like kind of cuts into your neck. Doesn't do that with the Moby wrap.
I got traps for my straps, man.
Oh, nice. Best budget is the Boba Air baby carrier. Boba Air. I don't know. I've never had it before.
It looks like a huge grocery bag.
Yeah, and I'll post this on our show notes so you can go through it. But
okay.
Best moisture wicking.
This looks like the one I have. Is this the Ergo?
The Ergo. Yeah, we have this one.
Yeah, you have the Ergo. I think it seems like everybody I know has the Ergo.
Yeah,
and I think it was real popular for a while, and now I think a lot of new ones are out there. So maybe it's not the best one anymore. But I tell you, I'm a fan of the Ergo. It's pretty basic, easy to use.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's
got the strap.
You can even have the one that's like the color can be neutral so it doesn't look girly.
Yeah, ours is like black and gray.
Right.
And it's got the strap that can, if the kid is sleeping, not the strap, but like a hood that pops out,
cover. Oh, yeah, mine has that. That's nice.
Yeah, I think they all have that. That is kind of nice because sometimes, especially when you're wearing them on your back, mm-hmm. if they fall asleep, their head is like flopping around.
Or it's more of, if you want them to go to sleep and you want them to stop being distracted, because if you have the baby like right, if you have the baby like in the front, all they're doing is their head is kind of on a swivel,
right.
looking around.
I don't use it. I don't normally use it on the front because typically when I wear it on the front, it's with the newer, younger baby, mm-hmm. and they're just going to go to sleep. Well, then by the time they're big enough to,
again, that's your babies,
dude. It's just like the sound of my heart,
yeah.
and just. I fathers, you know, it's
you father
it's
hard.
What I'm doing.
You father
but
hard.
When you put them on the back.
That should be like a new t-shirt that we have.
Father hard.
Father hard.
Yeah.
The Catholic Man Show.
But when you wear them on the back.
No one else do that.
Trademark.
Do not do that.
That's, trademark.
I may do that.
Their head will flop around. It's like they're just breaking their neck back there. And you're just walking around. You might not even know it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you put that thing on and it holds their head.
It keeps the sun out of their eyes.
Yeah.
Again. I used it more. My boys did not fall asleep very well at all. They're always like looking around. They're always like trying, like stimulated, looking around.
Yeah.
You put that thing on, they don't get to look at anything anymore.
Right. It's like a blinders for the horse.
Right. So the best multi-position is the Beck. I'll let you say that. You're better at.
Beko. Solil. I don't know.
Beko Solil baby carrier.
It looks European. Don't get it.
that was pretty good, Dave. Okay, and then the last one is the best support, which I've never tried this one, but the Anya Baby Outback, but it has the best support apparently.
Is it Anya Baby?
That's Anya Baby right there. But apparently it's really good for like hiking, things like that. Like if you're going on trek, you know,
okay.
Outdoors. Camping.
I want to know, like, really, what's the, you know, okay, all of these that you mentioned, you could mm-hmm. go hiking with all of them, and I'll bet it would be about the same.
This one has, the Anya Baby Outback has a teething pad built onto the shoulder pads and on the corner so that the baby can be chewing and teething.
Hmm. Okay, that might be kind of cool, I guess.
I've never tried that before.
You didn't mention any of the tactical ones, though. There's tactical baby carriers out there that are made of Kevlar and stuff.
Yeah, those are really cool.
However, you can't wear them. They don't go on the front or the back. the ones that I've seen. Hopefully they have one.
I've seen the ones that go in the front.
Okay, well, there was the original. Well, yeah, they go in the front only. The original one. Like, Juan has one that's tactical, but you can't wear it. You can't backpack.
Dude,
version.
Here's what we need to do. We need to have. We need to get these and have you be the male model and take
I'll
pictures.
I'll do it. I'll get my cutoffs out. I'm going to cut, you know, sleeveless shirts out. I mean, it'll be great. Okay, I will say in Rome, I took our oldest. We went to Rome when she was 5 months old. And I did this, and I thought this was going to be hard, but it actually worked out great. I was wearing her on the front, and I had an actual backpack on the back. And I thought, man, this is going to be a lot of weight. Yeah, but all of a sudden, I was like, oh, this is great. Yeah. It's even better. Because, yeah, it balanced on both sides. And so I wasn't having to, like, lean back or anything, you know?
Nice.
Yeah. So
if you were really bothering, you'd have a kid on the front and a kid on the back. Well, that's how you would do it.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be awesome.
When we get back, we're going to talk about how you can have another kid.
Or not.
Or not.
Whatever God wants.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sipping on a little bit of this Highland Park 12-year. My first time to try Highland Park. Not even just on the show, but in general. I've never had Highland Park.
I don't know that I've had it, but I just can't imagine that I haven't had it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a staple. It's a mainstream scotch.
It's
one of those that everybody's had, isn't it? Right? Like, well, I was shocked we haven't had it on the show.
I think it's good.
It is good.
I'm enjoying it.
I'm going to be honest with you. There are very few scotches that I do not think are good.
That's, yeah, me too.
Above the, like, $15 range, mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, just stay away from the bottom shelf.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do know what you mean. I've made that mistake. So today, we're going to talk about NFP. We're going to talk about natural family planning.
One exception. White Horse. When I used to be able to find that, it was on the bottom shelf. It was good.
Teachers
is good.
Is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to talk about NFP. NFP is not something that you normally hear on a man podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more of a, it seems to be more of like a chick topic.
Yeah. But it's definitely manly.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it.
It is.
Because it's about family.
Right. And when you get married, you and your spouse are one, okay? And I think one mistake or one thing that men do wrong is they think about their wife's fertility apart from their own, okay? You have a common fertility. You are, and especially we tend to like, oh, she's fertile today. It's like, yeah, you jerk, you're fertile all the time, okay? It's like, and
I've never been like, ugh. I've never been in my life expectancy.
Especially when you practice NFP and you're, you know, it's all about fertility awareness.
When I know that she's fertile, I'm like, all right, let's go.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm not in a negative stance fertility.
I don't think most guys out there are, you know, trying to fill a bus.
Like we are.
Like maybe we are. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Just saying.
Yeah, we're probably an anomaly.
Let's see how fast I can overcapacitate this van that I just bought.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll see. Okay. Anyway,
so natural family planning.
Natural family planning is fertility awareness, essentially. Okay. It's observing the signs of a woman's fertility in order to determine whether or not she is fertile. Okay. And so if you have that information, now you know if we come together in a marital embrace, is a pregnancy, a new baby, likely to be the result of this act.
Of the marital union.
Of this act of love.
So marital union is it two components, right? It's the marital love and the unit of love. Or the unit of love, I'm sorry, and the procreative love.
Yeah, correct.
You know, coming together as one, mm-hmm. There's two aspects. You can't separate those. Can't separate those two things.
You can't. God already has.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I was talking about us. I wasn't talking about like God.
We don't do that. Yeah, we don't do that. So anyway, it's just, and it's science. It's scientific. This is not the rhythm method. This is not looking at the calendar.
It just gets a bad rap.
It gets a bad rap. If you go to the CDC website, you cannot, it has a lot on NFP, natural family planning, but it is all lies. Everything yeah, on I, there. I went because they lump the rhythm method.
Well, I went to the like healthcare. Like I typed in natural family planning today in Google, and it, like one of the first ones was like healthcare.gov or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. Yep.
And I went there. And
that's it.
And it was like, if you use this, one in four, like 100 people out of 100 people, 25 get pregnant
in a year.
In a year.
Right, and that's because they lump the rhythm method into the natural family planning category.
So what is the
rhythm method is an old method from like the late 1800s that just said, all right, let's assume that every woman has the average, what is, was believed to be the average of a 28-day cycle. And so that means we just know if her cycle is 28 days, she's going to ovulate on day 12. So on day 15, you know, you're no longer fertile or whatever the numbers, however the numbers work out. However, it turns out...
ovulate. It'd be too late.
Right, exactly. That.
Come on, that was a good pun.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay, I got it. I was... I'm way ahead of you.
I broke up your rhythm. Go ahead.
So it turns out that maybe 28 days is the average, but only about 12% of women actually have a cycle that's 28 days long, okay? Because most women don't have that. There isn't necessarily a normal cycle for a woman's fertility, okay? So anyway, there are three major... methods of natural natural family planning. There is there's the Billings ovulation method. There is the couple-to-couple league, also called symptothermal method, and then there is the Creighton model.
The Creighton one is the charting, is a full-on blown up charting, correct?
Well, they're all charting. You chart on all of them. That word charting applies to all the methods. Okay, okay. So here's a little bit of the difference.
I'm sorry.
The Billings, a woman observes her mucus throughout the day.
Mucus.
Yeah, mucus.
A lot of people don't like that word.
It's a terrible word.
Mucus.
Like even if it meant something else, it would still sound gross. Okay, but I don't know. I guess it was appropriately named because
moist
mucus like is not.
Okay, let's keep going.
It's not gross. Right. I mean, anyway, so through her own observations, she's able to determine her fertility cycle. Okay, I would say, and this is just my own opinion, the Billings method is probably the easiest to use.
Okay.
So if you're looking for...
What does it entail?
At the end of the day, you write down your most fertile sign. So stretchy is... When you're doing the characteristics of mucus, stretchy would be more fertile than tacky or no mucus at all. And then there's also the sensation of just how she feels throughout the day apart from mucus.
Okay.
We don't need to get into exactly how it all works, okay? But it's just, it's mucus only.
Okay.
Couple to couple league, symptothermal, is mucus and temperature. So every morning when she wakes up, she needs to take her temperature about the same time every day. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so that is that's what my wife and I use.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Because it does, you can see her temperature spike whenever her ovulation occurs. It's not a very big spike, but it's about 0.4 degrees from her basal body temperature. This is all science that is come about really in the 1900s.
That's like where she's in heat.
Right, yeah.
She will literally rip your face off. That's a Dwight Schrute quote. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wish.
I'm sorry. Before we started this, I thought to myself, I got to limit the sex jokes. I have to limit the sex jokes.
You have to have a couple, though, just to break the ice.
Okay. There you go. There was one.
There's one. All right. Ding. Anyway, that's the one we used, and we really like it. It's also the most popular. I don't know if there's a reason for that. It just is. Maybe they have the best marketing. I don't know. But I really like it because it gives me as the man, I do the interpreting of her charting. So she writes all the stuff down about her body and I interpret the chart. So it gives me something to do. It's not just her doing it all and me asking her, you know, is it a green light or a red light tonight? You know,
right.
It's me being involved. So anyway, and then there's the Creighton model. So the Creighton model is expanded Billings model, except it was it's been standardized to help a woman definitively know maybe if something is off. Okay, so it's really designed for you to take this chart to a doctor and he could look at your chart and say, oh, this is, you have this condition. And he could tell, he or she, the doctor could tell, just by looking at your chart. Because it's not, it's not just, oh, the mucus was stretchy. It's how far did it stretch? So you're getting empirical data about everything about you.
Okay.
And so Creighton is a great model, but it's more, it's probably more cumbersome to use just for the regular average person. However, if you are someone who has been trying to achieve pregnancy without success, it could be a really good model for you because it also allows you to use NAPRO technology, which is a total game changer for people who are trying to get pregnant.
You know what else is a total game changer? St. Gerard.
Yeah, dude.
He's a total game changer.
You don't mess around with him.
So when we first got married, when Haley and I first got married, we went to the doctor and they told us, you're not going to be able to have kids. It's going to be extremely hard for you. You might as well go ahead and start looking at adoption or all of these other type of non-Catholic ways of making a baby.
Yeah.
And we said, no. We just got married. We'll pray about it. And she kind of laughed at us. Like, the doctor kind of laughed at us, but...
She's so stupid.
Yeah, it was fine. We didn't care. So, St. Gerard is the patron saint of expectant mothers.
Yeah.
And so, that day, my wife and I left the fertility clinic, and we decided that that is going to be our patron saint of our family. And I think that that's a good thing to do, is have a patron saint of your family.
Totally.
A saint that you can always call on within your family to pray for you.
Yeah.
So, we decided St. Gerard's going to be it. And we started praying. We pray, we still to this day, every night, have a prayer to St. Gerard that we pray together every night before we go to bed. And we have for the last 6 years. But 6 months after we started praying that, Luke came into existence. So
that's not natural family planning, though. That's supernatural family planning.
Supernatural family planning.
Yeah.
But I think that we always overestimate the power, or underestimate the power of prayer.
Totally.
You know, if
all the time,
if we have a desire to have children, and God wants us to have a child, you need to ask him.
Yeah. Yeah. Because chances are
he wants you to.
He'll probably answer that prayer. I mean, we shouldn't just make it sound like that, because there's a lot of people out there who pray for it all the time.
And I understand
it's a terrible cross that they bear.
Sure.
Yeah, but,
sure. And we're still planning.
If you're not praying about it,
you should definitely start and do it together.
Definitely should be praying
as a
about
couple.
It.
Do it together as a couple.
Yeah.
I think that's important to do it. And then, you know, Haley and I are still going to adopt someday, God willing. So that's always a good option.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about birth control and then some of my feelings about blogs.
Okay, cool. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan, we're talking about NFP. We've got a lot of stuff that I want to cover before this episode is over, so let's just get right to it.
All right. I was going to say congrats to the Oklahoma State wrestling team for winning the Big 12 championship, but I won't say congratulations to the OSU wrestling championship.
Yeah, because I don't think we have time to congratulate them for winning the national championship.
No. Big 12 championship.
Big 12 championship.
Okay. Go ahead.
We could congratulate them in advance for winning the national championship.
Right.
I'm sure.
Go ahead.
God willing. And he does.
Because John Smith is Catholic.
Yes, that's right. And a good one. Not just.
Keep his father in your prayers.
Okay.
He's not well. So.
Okay. Birth control. The birth control pill. Hormonal contraceptives. They're going to kill you. Let me just get this out there. I do not recommend them for men. Okay. It does not work that way. If you know, dudes should not take these ever. But women also shouldn't take them for a number of reasons. The one good reason is that the World Health Organization, not exactly a conservative organization.
Or Catholic
at all. But they did put the hormonal contraceptive chemical on the carcinogen list. It's a schedule one.
Not schedule one.
Not schedule one. It's a...
Three, maybe? Schedule three?
No.
Can't be schedule one. It's not up there with like...
Yes.
Like...
Yes, with
meth and LSD.
No, that's different. It's category one, carcinogen.
Okay.
Maybe it's not category. Maybe category is the wrong word, but it's in the same class as nuclear radiation.
Hmm.
As far as carcinogens go.
Okay.
They've done studies on this. Women who take the birth control pill before their first pregnancy. So when a woman gets pregnant for the first time, their breast tissue changes. Okay. It matures. And so if you take the birth control pill before your breast tissue has matured, your chances of getting breast cancer have now gone up by 80%.
Wow.
So it's not that they're going up to 80%.
Right.
But if you had a 10% chance, now you have an 18% chance. However, they also found that women who are already in a high risk factor for getting breast cancer, 100% of them who took birth control before their first pregnancy, 100% of them got breast cancer. So it is a serious deal. Do not, under any circumstances, put your teenage daughters on birth control. The doctor,
or your wife.
Or their wife. But the doctor will tell you this is a good thing to do. Oh, it'll help with her acne. It'll help regulate her cycles. All this stuff. And morally, it's not immoral to put your 15-year-old daughter on birth control pill because for those reasons. If you're taking it for something other than a contraceptive, mm-hmm. it's not immoral for that reason. But it's not good. You shouldn't do it because it's terrible for a woman's body. What the birth control pill does is it tricks a woman's body into thinking that she's pregnant, okay, which is what stops her from ovulating. But it also works in a couple other ways. It thins out the endometrial lining of her uterus, preventing a... Sometimes that first layer of defense, so to speak, it doesn't work and ovulation still occurs. Fertilization could happen. And so it prevents that... Now what is a person from implanting into the uterus? So it creates a hostile environment in the womb. And so that's why
which breaks up the procreative.
Well, that's why it becomes an abortifacient.
Right. And we talked about the marital act being unitive and procreative.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And
exactly.
When you break those two up, that's not good.
So anyway, it is terrible for a woman's body. It also prevents her... from going through a natural process of just these cycles, and it has the effect of aging a woman's reproductive system at twice the rate. So if a woman starts at 15 and takes the pill for 10 years, she's 25. She really has the womb of a 35-year-old.
Okay, but
at that point,
let's talk about. NFP is not the Catholic version of birth control.
No, it isn't. Because it's sort of like the difference. I like this analogy. You could say like, all right, I'm going to get married. I don't want Uncle Bernie to come to the wedding. So you cannot invite Uncle Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just don't send him an invitation. But birth control would be like sending him an invitation, telling him you're not invited. Okay? God made women... fertile and infertile at certain times. So just because you come together and have sex at a time when she's not fertile, you're not doing it. You know, it's not like you're doing anything wrong by having sex at that
time.
You're
doing great things.
Right. I mean,
I don't know about you. I mean, I was just speaking from personal
because the
experience.
Marital act is renewing your wedding vows. Okay. And so there's nothing the church says like, oh no, you can't do that if it's infertile.
Mm-hmm.
So birth control pill or condoms, any form of birth control, is sterilizing what should be a fertile event.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And using natural family planning is just saying, all right, now we know, it's just bringing awareness, we have more knowledge, and now we can help discern, okay? Because if you are saying, all right, we've discerned that it's best to avoid pregnancy right now, we're gonna abstain on the fertile times.
Okay, so
and that's okay, because that becomes an act of love as well.
Okay, so let's talk about the abstaining part, because a lot of people say that abstaining is the tough part.
Well, sure.
Which obviously it is somewhat tough, but studies have shown that Catholics who practice NFP have the best sex. Why is that? Because when you abstain for a little bit, when you get back together, it's really, it's like you don't appreciate, like if we drank this Highland Park 12 year every single day for for 7 days. That eighth day, I'm not appreciating it as much.
Right. But the studies have also shown that people who practice NFP actually have more sex. It's not only better, they have more.
Mm-hmm.
By a lot, actually.
Well, there goes my alcohol analogy.
Right, yeah. But, I mean, it's like if you fast for a day, or let's say you don't eat anything all day, and then come dinner, you're starving, and when you take a bite, don't tell me it doesn't taste better than it does otherwise. I mean,
but of course it's hard, but every sacrament that we have, there's a symbol of death, right? The baptism, there's a symbol of death.
Right, yeah.
The Eucharist, the holy sacrifice of Mass, there's a symbol of death. Matrimony, there's a symbol of death, and that's like the dying of oneself for the good of the other person. Like, there, right. You know, it's no longer just me, it's us. It's not me and her. It's us together.
Yeah. Now, I mean, just to be full disclosure, it is hard because in those moments when if you've discerned now's not the right time for us to get pregnant, those moments when she's fertile, you will be literally more attracted to her. She will be more attracted to you. She will actually look better. She will have more energy, may probably be more flirtatious. Mm-hmm. She will have more blood flow, like her, you know, like this is the nature, I mean, nature's way of promoting pregnancy. Right. But I just want to say, like, yeah, it's going to be hard, but so what?
Yeah. We're called to that. That's part of like, again, it's dying to self. It's picking up a cross, right? There's crosses that you have to pick up and carry.
Yeah. So before we run out of time, I just want to address this because there's all these blogs out there who talk about, it's almost like, I'm a Catholic blogger and I'm going to kind of be countercultural and bash NFP for a little bit. And they always make sure to, you know, be very clear that NFP is the only, you know, it's good. But the titles are like, why I hate NFP.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't think that they realize really what they're doing. Because when they talk about how, NFP is so hard, like it's blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, difficult. And I don't like to do it. All they're doing is giving glory to the birth control pill, because what they're saying is that there is an option that would be easy and maybe better. They're making the birth control pill sound better when they do this. Okay. Hmm. I mean, imagine a world where the birth control pill didn't exist at all. Would anybody complain about NFP? No. I mean, this is just the way it is.
Well, NFP is a beautiful thing. I mean,
but I'm just saying, like, yeah, it's hard.
Right.
Okay, yeah, I get it. But if birth control pill, if condoms didn't exist, if, you know, none of it, if it was the only thing that was there, would anybody complain about it? No. I mean, just because, like, they would think, this is great. Now we have information about her fertility. Like,
we know when we can, when we cannot, when we shouldn't.
NFP is only good. There is nothing bad about it, okay? And if you behave in that way, all you're doing is honoring, even if subconsciously or indirectly, the birth control pill and the other nefarious alternatives for avoiding pregnancy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody complained about the lack of air travel before air travel existed. I hope that makes sense to people. What I'm trying to say is that I don't think we're doing anybody a favor by putting down.
Yeah, I mean, you have to talk about
it. We can be honest that it's hard.
Right.
Sorry, I know I keep cutting you off.
No, I agree. You have to be honest that it's hard. I mean, that's what I was going to say is we can be honest that that it's hard. But guess what? As men, when you enter into marriage, Ephesians 5 says that you're supposed to die like Christ died for the church.
Right.
So, you're going into marriage knowing it's not going to be easy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, women are the most beautiful thing on the planet.
Right. I mean, even in Genesis, right? As soon as God made Eve, what was written? Alas, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh.
Right, yeah.
He's like, amazing. And then, like, what did Eve say?
Nothing. Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Nothing.
So,
but, I mean, obviously, the woman's body is amazing.
Yeah, and you're married to this woman that you love.
Right.
And you're going to spend the rest of your life together. And, you know, you've got this sexual union of course, it's tough when you both discern that we're not going to do that. But you know what? It's up to you guys. And sometimes discernments
happen 5 minutes.
Right. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, we thought we had discerned not to have
Turns
a baby, but
we...
maybe, maybe we're discerning differently. And you know what? I think that's okay.
Yeah.
As long as you're doing it prudently.
Right. Right. Had a little bit of Highland Park 12 year. Talked about baby carriage and NFP. More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.